God will raise up a prophet from among you. You must listen to him. In retrospect, it's probably the center point of the book of Deuteronomy. As you recall, God's people have been led out of slavery in Egypt. They have come through the waters of the Red Sea and walked out dry on the other side. They made their way to Mount Sinai, and God renewed his covenant promises with them. They would be his people. He would be their God. He would work through them. They received the great 10 words, or 10 commandments, and then they got kind of lost. Right? 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years walking, wandering, and learning to trust God. Perhaps there was more to it than just having no GPS unit with them. Their time in the desert was tough, but through their 40 years on the proving ground, they were learning to trust God for their daily needs. And by daily, it was an each and every day sort of thing. They received bread from the heavens, but they were only to take how much? Enough for the day. Any excess that they gathered would rot and ruin. They had to learn to trust each and every new day, whatever came around the corner. Direction, protection, and care. This was part of their daily journey. Though not all who left Egypt would make it to the promised land, this lesson of learning to trust God was something for those who came up out of slavery, but more than that, it was something for generations to come. Moses was one who wouldn't make it to the promised land. He had, as their leader, taken matters out of God's hands and into his own, and he was told that he was sent only be able to look on the promised land from a distance. It's in his last moments with God's people that he delivered the messages that we know as the book of Deuteronomy. Soon, Moses would be gone, and the people would need to learn what it would mean to trust in their God, to follow in the way of their God without the man who led them up out of slavery in Egypt, without the man who had delivered on God's behalf the 10 commandments, without the one they had looked to as a leader for years and years. The center point of Moses' farewell message to the people, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. He's the only one. That's the point of Moses' last great message to his people. Here. Which is, of course, why we have a gigantic here on the front of our bulletins this morning. That said, the kind of hearing that Moses was calling the people to wasn't something that you can just do with your ears. It's the sort of hearing that takes the whole person, head to toe, heart, soul, mind, strength. It's the sort of hearing that changes you. It's the sort of hearing that both gives and promises new life, restoration for the world, restoration for the individual. Because these were the people of the promise. And their task, through ups and through downs in life, through the good times and the bad, their task in life was to show the world what it meant to be the people of God. To live in a right relationship with God, with one another, and with the world. Whatever they were going through, their job was to share with the world the good news that God was going to set all things right. But good news came with the additional good news that God would work through these people. It would happen as they were people who were hearing, listening to the words of the Lord their God, and more than that, listening with their whole bodies, listening with their whole lives. Of course, the story gets a little messy after this. The scriptures are full of hearing, not hearing, wandering off in another direction, of course, because it's the Lord our God. Forgiveness, renewal, and another chance. With his departure nearing, Moses perhaps saw this coming, which of course leads us back to our text for today. The Lord your God will raise up from among you a prophet. You must listen to him, or perhaps you must hear him. He will be the faithful prophet. He is the one who will speak the very words of God to you, the people. Being God's people living on this side of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, it's perhaps easy for us to recognize who we ought to be thinking about when we read these words from Moses in Deuteronomy. That said, it can still be awfully difficult to hear with our whole selves the good news, the words, the way of Jesus. There are voices that we hear every day that would distract us. Voices from without, voices perhaps from within that would lead us to go another way. And so, hearing Jesus, what is that all about? How does one do such a thing? Well, I think the first thing to note when we think about and talk about hearing Jesus is to note that hearing isn't just an idea that Moses had in the Old Testament. Jesus ends his great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel by saying, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like one who has built their house on a foundation of rock. Jesus fully expects his people to hear his words, and not only that, to put them into practice. More on that second piece in just a moment. Hearing Jesus happens in a couple of ways. There is, of course, the more obvious. We hear Jesus when we read his words and story in the scriptures, in the gospels, in church, Bible class, in the home, wherever it is that we have the opportunity to listen to or read the words and way of Jesus. But it also happens with each other. We share the words and way of Jesus with one another as we come together as God's people, as we run into each other on the street, as we give a phone call or make a visit. We share the words and way of Jesus with one another. We hear the words and way of Jesus in the needs of one another and in the needs of our neighbors. He comes to us even now. It's not always easy to hear. It's not always easy to just merely listen. It takes discipline. It takes work. It takes tuning our ears to hear the good news that Jesus brings in the gospel story. But without hearing Jesus as a people, we would be lost. The second piece of hearing with our whole selves, of hearing Jesus, is struggling. Or rather, bit of a spoiler alert on this one. He wins. Every time. Which is why we sometimes call this part, quite simply, repentance. But that doesn't mean it's not important for us to meditate on the words of Jesus, how they impact us, how they affect us, what that means for how our lives need to change. What are things that might need to be added? What are things that might need to stay the same? What are things that might need to go away? Struggling through these steps, hearing Jesus, can help us not only hear better, but move forward and recognize what needs to be left behind and what direction we need to be headed in as a people and as individuals. Jesus' words always change us. And the struggle, the wrestling, the battle, the repentance is all about seeing that. That Jesus' words never leave us quite the same. The third part of hearing Jesus with more than our ears is putting his words into practice. Doing them. And this is where the struggle can tend to be the most difficult. We can listen with our ears. We can understand. We can teach. We can answer all sorts of questions that folks may have. We can win arguments. We can do all sorts of things and never actually put the words and way of Jesus to work. This is where the proverbial rubber meets the road. And this is exactly where God's people struggled in the Old Testament. Centuries after Moses, having once again received the law and celebrated it, it never made its way to life. The laws were counted, numbered, memorized, and yet when Jesus came, the one who came to bring their fulfillment, he was killed. As for us today, a new day is dawned. Jesus was raised. Jesus lives and promises new life to his people. We are not relegated to the status quo. We're not stuck with a sentence of life the way it's always been. Jesus brings new life to his people. God has poured his Spirit out on us that we might hear, that we might be able to listen, wrestle, and do that which our Lord has called us to. But live the life that he's given to us in our baptism. Hearing with more than our ears, wrestling through the tough questions and changes and putting his words into practice. That's how God works in and through us. That's how God works out his great promise to set all things right. You, me, the world, his creation. God brings full and complete restoration. He does it as we hear the good news that his Son has brought us. He's setting this world right. He's given us the good news.